Our theme tonight is the U.S. versus Australia, Hong Kong, and Bangladesh. As you know, I love to travel, and it's always a reminder that the world is always bigger than you think. It's always a complete stretch to go. And, of course, I studied in Hong Kong. I've been to Australia several times, but Bangladesh was very new for me, so it was a real learning experience, especially to be in a country that's about 90 to 95% Muslim. Every morning they get up at sunrise and sunset. The call goes out and speakers throughout the city. Dhaka, the capital, is 20 million people for a call to prayer. It's very nice to be in a place where there's a call to prayer with sunrise and sunset. Anyway, so I came back from Bangladesh into San Francisco for a week, then went down to Los Angeles for a couple days, and then was back in Memphis. I kept thinking as I was going about a friend of mine who had lived in Paris for 2 years, and she once said to me, you know, the first year I lived in Paris was the happiest year of my life. And I said, what happened? Why was the second year not so happy? And she said, oh, well, I learned French. And so as soon as I learned French, then I could hear the psychic storm, and I didn't enjoy Paris anywhere as much. So the reality is, you know, my morphogenic field is much more the United States. And so when I'm in Australia, Hong Kong, and Bangladesh, I'm a little bit separate from the psychic storm. Australia is really they call it the lucky country, and it's people are much better off both economically and in terms of general well-being and health than we are here. So it's a little bit like diving back into the United States 20 years ago, except in a much more physically, well, America's very beautiful, but Australia is very, you know, much of the population lives on the ocean, and so it's a very healthy, outgoing culture. Hong Kong was clearly in a tremendous transition and under great pressure. The PRC, the 20th anniversary of the handover was while I was there, and you can see the PRC is really moving in. It's going to be very interesting because if we have tax reform here, you're going to see more money piling in from Asia and certainly from Hong Kong. And then finally, Bangladesh is much more of a developing country. So their sewer and transportation systems and infrastructure are much more sort of third world status than ours. And certainly Hong Kong is much more advanced. So Australia and Hong Kong, pretty sophisticated infrastructure and culture. Bangladesh still struggling with backwards infrastructure. And yet the people are remarkably entrepreneurial and good at navigating and making the best of tremendous economic growth while still struggling with infrastructure that's not building ahead of the speed at which they're growing. But it was exciting because the young people that I was meeting through Dr. McKinney were just marvelous people and very excited about the entrepreneurial opportunities. As I said before, the young people in Australia and Bangladesh were excited and happy about their future. Hong Kong, they were insecure about their future, and I feel the same here, that the young people are much more insecure about their future. And so it was very interesting to see how much more optimistic the cultures were, where people were excited about the future. I felt like when I came back to San Francisco, yes, I was staying in Palo Alto, so I was going sort of into Silicon Valley, but I was up in Marin for a wonderful lunch at Larkspur with 50 great subscribers. It was really marvelous. And but when I was navigating Marin and Silicon Valley, I really felt like I was almost in the Stepford Wives, much, much more uptight culture than Australia or Hong Kong or Bangladesh. So we really felt, you know, America felt very zipped up tight and very mind controlled. Not to say that, you know, the others aren't dealing with the same kind of technologies that we are, but they're, you know, they're sort of much more, much less tense, much less uptight, much less stressed. And you would think in Bangladesh and Dhaka, with a city of 20 million people with rudimentary sewers and transportation systems, that they'd be under much more stress. But you definitely felt a much more egalitarian, much more human culture. Anyway, so the whole process has me thinking even more about 5G, which we did a show with Jason Bowden-Smith about 5G when I was down in Australia, and we also did a podcast that he just published on EMF Warriors. It's up on the homepage. So I come back thinking much more about mind control and EMF radiation and how we're going to deal with all these invisible technologies. And of course, we're all trying to figure it out at the same time. No one has the answers. I think Jason and his group have done incredible research, and so I look to them for some of the latest and greatest. We've been working with our partners in the Netherlands to put together a conference, a webinar that you'll be hearing more about called Out of Control. And it's really about all the invisible methods of centralizing control. So I think that's important. I want to keep diving into that topic until we really figure out how to protect each other. One of the things that struck me coming back into the United States, although you certainly feel it everywhere because the US media and news is so present globally, so it's very much in your face all over the world. But the US corporate news is finding new lows of disinformation. Essentially, I'm going to repeat what I've said before, but I think it's very important we all be clear about this. The clear message from Mr. Global is there's to be no money spent for the general population, no money for healthcare, no money for infrastructure, no money for tax reform for middle or poor. And that leaves Congress in the conundrum of how are they going to pass any of these things and only give benefits to the rich. Mr. Global clearly wants a lot more money for the military and more money for the rich. And Mr. Global does not want people to see what's going on with the federal budget as well as state and local budgets. In fact, what Mr. Global wants is to tear up the Constitution. That's why the push for the Constitutional Convention continues, even though you don't hear a lot about it. So basically, what Mr. Global says is, I don't want them getting any money until I can tear up the Constitution and take away their money. So what we're watching is complete obfuscation. It's entertainment, it's distraction. It's keeping people from watching what's seriously happening with federal, state, and local budgets and governance systems. And so it's exceptionally important for your well-being and for all of us that we ignore the political entertainment and understand that the media is trying to get the necessary ratings and create the general distraction necessary so Mr. Global gets what he wants. Now, needless to say, the nature of that conundrum of how to get ratings while you're distracting people is producing something that's so absurd, ridiculous, and literally embarrassing that it is doing tremendous damage to the U.S. brand all over the world. I mean, there's no doubt about it that people who are dealing with real life and real problems are looking at America and saying, you know, they've completely lost their minds. Part of the problem is whenever the president's gone abroad, so he's just been with Macron in Paris during the Bastille Day period and was at in Germany with the G20, and you have the US reporters constantly asking questions about Russian interference in the election. And it's disgraceful. Interestingly enough, if you look at sort of the Russian interference game, you have a high percentage of Democratic voters falling for it and thinking that, you know, there's some sort of chance that they could get rid of Trump, instead of focusing on the fact that what's going on in the budgets and governance system that they desperately need to not only know about but do something about. And then a high percentage of Republican voters are simply waiting for Trump to make good on the promises instead of getting into the trenches and doing what needs to be done. And so, in different ways and different reasons, we see all sides of the political spectrum failing to look at what's important and failing to take the action to protect themselves. So, here's what you and I need to do. We need to do everything possible to stop the call for a constitutional convention in your state. You need to rescind the call if it's been voted for, and four states now have rescinded. You need to stop the call if it's trying to be passed. And then you need to get interested in what's happening in the federal, state, and local budgets that impacts your time and money and the time and money of the businesses and family you're responsible for. I just put up a link to a post from Zero Hedge, five charts explaining just how SCRED, your state is. But it pays to look at what the debt and pension fund and solvency issues are for your debt and think about how it may impact you. But it's very important at this time we just turn off all the news and focus on the nuts and bolts of each specific. Now, your situation is different than mine, and so I can't give you any generic rules. But if you read How to Enforce the Constitution in the second quarter wrap-up, there's a ton of links and great ideas on things you can do to get involved, learn about what's going on, and make a difference. But I really think you need to have much greater intelligence about how the money works around you and how it could impact your family budget.